Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, as many of you may know, I left England in 2005 for various reasons. I could see the writing on the wall. I thought it was going to collapse into chaos and hell. And I was clearly correct. And I'm particularly fascinated by those who back in about 2005, 2004 were prophets, were the Cassandra-like prophets. They got so much right. And they were rigorously prosecuted by the Labour government at the time. They attempted to jail them without success because the legal system was still good enough then that the lawyers were not able to successfully argue their case. So the lawyers, the judges and the lawyers were less biased, and juries were less biased and had a sense of the importance of justice. So they weren't able to prosecute them. And a key plan, they weren't able to successfully prosecute them. They weren't able to have them jailed for expressing their opposition to what was happening in the UK. But it was so prophetic. And so what I thought I'd do is have a look at an undercover documentary at the time that was used as a means of trying to jail them, which failed, and see how much they got right. It really is quite fascinating. It was called The Secret Agent, and it came out in 2004.
I'll need to find them. Barkham also tells me that he joined the BNP after he and his family were attacked by Asians. He says joining helped him channel his anger.
Isn't that interesting, the idea that you feel part, you're just a little person, the whole country's against you, your country's being destroyed, and so just by that symbol of joining something, you feel that you're doing something.
Just sit at home at night, mate. Wide awake, upset about it, you know what I mean? Shaking with anger, and thinking there's nothing I can do about this. Honestly, I used to sit at home all night, well, not all night, but you know, I used to sit at home in bed thinking, fucking hell, where's it going on, mate? You know, can you stop this? And once I started doing this, like, I sort of set up. Because I'm doing something about it,
so that's interesting, that feeling that his country is being taken from him. He is not particularly articulate, perhaps not amazingly intelligent guy, but he knows what's going on and he wants to do something about it. And that was how so many people felt at the time in these kinds of places like Bradford.
I'm intrigued and ask a lot of questions. I then receive bad news from Andy. I've asked too many.
He telephoned me and he said, I need to meet you straight away. He said, we've got a problem with that Jason guy. So that's when
Andy is his mole. Andy is a person that is in the British National Party, but is leaking information to the far left and to the documentary maker.
I grabbed my kit together and went and recorded what he had to say, and this is it.
The thing that really stands out about him, like asking me all sorts of things that you wouldn't normally ask. Yeah. He's fucking about with his right hand all the time inside his coat. Yeah. And the fact that he's up here. No one knows who the fuck he is. Yeah. He's got this accent that I've never heard of. He's from not even.
Yeah. Well, just conclusions yet, right? What we'll do, we'll fucking keep an eye on him.
I mean, if I didn't say anything and he just carried on and he didn't fucking start doing things like that, I thought, fuck me, I should have not noticed that earlier on.
No, I'm glad you told me.
See, the thing is that what everybody's paranoid about,
yeah,
especially about members, their own members.
When you get new members, people...
There's a real problem with these undercover moles is that people always have their suspicions, but they can't quite believe that they are significant enough to be subject to an undercover mole, as I have been myself. And you can't... But you eventually... They're always these thin, weedy men that look completely out of place in the situation that they're in. They stand out as having weak man vibes. And so all you have to do, I think, is notice that they have weak man vibes and then probably exclude them for that reason alone. Also, of course, ask their passport as identification and then check the passport against the public records.
People get paranoid and they think they're infiltrators.
Andy persuades Barkham there's nothing to worry about, but we decide to back off. I'll need to be more careful if I'm to persuade him to tell me the truth about what happened during the Bradford riots. To win the trust of BNP members, I have to join their campaign teams. Their tactic is to seize on genuine local issues and exploit them for their own ends. in Keighley, 10 miles outside Bradford. Even though the police have investigated both white and Asian men for sex attacks on teenage white girls, the BNP focuses on reports that the first suspects were Asian.
Well, of course they do. I mean, and this is so prophetic. I mean, we now know how massively overrepresented that community was in this operation. They noticed it. It was the BNP that first brought this to any kind of public attention via this documentary, And for that, they tried to put them in prison.
The suggestion that men are seeking out schoolgirls for sex would be controversial in any community. 16% of the Yorkshire town's 70,000 population is Asian. But the claims about what's happening here in Keighley are particularly incendiary.
Being new leaves me outside the inner circle. While I'm working my way in from the bottom, Andy is privy to high-level conversations with Nick Griffin about how the BNP should deal with the allegations in Keighley.
Nick Griffin and I spoke about if there was any meetings coming up in Bradford. He actually said, what about Keighley? And I said, well, it's a little bit tender in Keighley. I said, tensions are running a little bit high. I said, it'll probably kick off if we had a meeting in Keighley. And he actually said, oh, good, if we get a riot out of it, we'll walk the election.
Now, this is a man who is a liar. He lies to the BNP about being loyal to them. Is he really likely to have said that? And also walk the election. This is in the context in which the BNP had, what, a couple of handfuls of council seats by this time, if that. So that doesn't sound very likely.
And I was just absolutely gobsmacked with, you know, the chairman of the BNP saying that to me.
A meeting is called in Keighley 5 weeks later.
Thank you. Now, the last two meetings in Keighley, you'd have thought we had a bunch of football hooligans in the meeting. This is not the way the British National Party behave, or its supporters, or its members. Can you please give a right, right good BNP welcome to Nick Griffin, the chair of the party?
This town should be on everybody's lips as the place where those paedophile drug rapes went on. Because 60 of our children, 60, well, one is too many, but 60 is a massive rape wave. It's astounding. I'll tell you, there's two reasons. The first is that our police force and our elected governors haven't done a damn thing properly about it.
This was later proven to us to be absolutely true. They were practically complicit. They ignored it because they didn't want to be accused of being racist, and this is something that was only admitted relatively recently, and now we're seeing it.
Second is that their good book tells them that that's acceptable. Now, that sentence could get me 7 years in prison, and if I actually went into detail about what's in the Quran, we'd be here all night, so I'm not going to. But if you doubt it, go and buy a copy or look it up on the internet, and you will find verse after verse after verse which says that you can take any women you want, as long as they're not Muslim women, any woman that your right arm can own. That's the sword arm. It's the fighting arm. It's the arm you hit a white lad with a baseball bat with you. That's the sword, the fighting arm. Any woman that they can take by force or guile is theirs. If they get a non-Muslim girl and they get her pregnant, then her community doesn't want her, and the child generally grows up a Muslim. And that's the way that this wicked, vicious faith has expanded from a handful.
That's what they tried to prosecute him for, apparently, for saying that it was a wicked, vicious faith, for just expressing an opinion, and that was inciting racial hatred.
What a cranky lunatics about 1,300 years ago, till it's now sweeping country after country before it all over the world. And if you read that book, you'll find that's what they want. And Keighley should be known all over Britain for the fact that it's the place where this particular part of their plan, not the riots or the rest of it, this one has come out here more than anybody else. And it's not that.
When Nick Griffin said his speech could land him in prison, I wanted to know if that was true. So I showed a senior barrister my footage.
But it's non-white barrister.
He says that Griffin's words are threatening, abusive, or insulting, and being delivered to the party faithful are designed to stir up racial hatred.
So there you go. The idea that the words are abusive and insulting, but it's about religion. It's not about individuals. It's about the religion itself, which you can adopt or not adopt, as is your will. and because he's delivering to the party faithful, it assumes a motivation. And the jury eventually did not accept that.
Under Section 18 of the Public Order Act, Griffin already has a conviction for stirring up racial hatred. The maximum sentence is 7 years in prison. Griffin's interpretation
and frighten viewers.
Of the Quran has also been condemned by Muslim scholars as wildly distorted and out of context.
There's no knight on a shining, you know, big horse with shining armour going to come to the rescue, kill the Islamic dragon. There isn't anybody. And if you've got young children in your family, or teenage girls, or slightly older boys, or pensioners, then you've got to stand up and do something for the British National Party, because otherwise they will do for someone in your family. That is the truth. For saying that, I tell you, I would get 7 years if I said that outside, if I said that in front of people who go and report it to the police. You've heard the truth. You know the truth. Please, please, make up your mind this instant. You are going to do something to help.
It's very dangerous to suggest that there are dragons to be slayed and that the BNP are the only people who can do so, when it is clearly just demonizing one section of our society with a view to creating hatred and also, I think, spreading violence against them.
It's over the top, this insane overreaction. It is stating, calmly stating, opinions. And that is exactly what the jury found. But the jury found that because it was a context of over 20 years ago when we still understood that. Whether we would now, I don't know.
2 days after the meeting, I'm told to go to a car park in Keighley to join a BNP campaign team. We're given leaflets titled Mothers Against Paedophiles. It's a front for the BNP.
You might be able to see there isn't one mention of the British National Party on there at all. And members of the British National Party have told me that this leaflet has been produced by the chairman, Nick Griffin.
So what? I was in the local Conservative Association and we would put leaflets out, local leaflets about local issues without any mention of the Conservative Party on the leaflets, because otherwise it's a campaigning issue. And you just have the names of the council candidates to get them into people's minds. That is perfectly legal.
During the course of its campaign in Keighley, the BNP deliberately failed to mention that police suspects are white as well as Asian. It also exaggerated the scale of the problem.
If you've got tension in any area, BNP will go to that area, peddle its lies, put out some leaflets, tell people.
This isn't accurate because from what they show in this programme, there are BNP branches in these areas already. So it's not people coming in from outside to stir up trouble. It's people that are already in that area that live there that become politically involved, as he well knows.
Yeah, you've got to be scared because X, Y, and Z's going to happen. Then they step back. Then if there is any tension after that, if there's a big, large-scale disorder, once it's over and done with, then they step forward and say, told you so, we were right. But it's actually them who whipped it up in the first place. And that's how they work.
It's 3 weeks since Stuart Williams first told me he dreams of attacking mosques. I see him again at a meeting at Andy's house to discuss the local election. Long-time Bradford activist Arthur Bentley is also invited.
I've got a drink out before. You've got your World War II gun. What sort is it?
I'm not using the English Army.
Well, I'll lean out the council.
It's a what?
British Army.
What I've got. The Enfield,
yeah. Lee Enfield. Bloody
fucking
hell.
Lee Enfield. Fucking Harry Enfield using it.
It fires bullets.
Does it? You got a license for it.
What about the taxi ranks? Has there been the uproar? The license is short back in here. Off of Cow Lane. You can hit every mosque in Bradford from there.
Why don't we take a photograph of that?
Yeah. Just put a big thingy pointing at our mosque and say,
getting
nearer
to you.
Just keep it community for now.
You'd have to run up to Carlisle and have a look.
You can see that across Bradford.
See what it is? What it is with these people in Idle, right? But as soon as there's no Pakis are coming in, they'll go, oh, fucking hell, you know what I mean? It's some change of the tone, man.
This is generally true. If you go to areas that are overwhelmingly white, they say, I'd love it to be multicultural. I'd love it to be multicultural. But yet you've left Leicester. Why have you left Leicester? Oh, because the pace of life is slower here. The gymnastics people will go through so that they can feel that they are a morally good person.
It's important that we keep it, you know. Why don't we just have a big headline, no fuckies in our area, and right underneath. We don't put BNP on it, we'll just put them out.
Andy and I tried to keep the conversation focused on the elections, but there's no holding Williams back.
What are you going to do with him?
Shoot fuckies. That's all I want to do.
Listen.
I'm waiting for
listen. You can't fucking do this. If you're going to be a councillor, you can't talk fucking nonsense.
You can't stand up in the chamber and say that, can you?
No, but I can look at the thing. You'll be dead soon, you. All right, then once we've taken over, then can we show up?
This time, I'm sure it's not the drink talking. Although I press Williams many times to see the gun, he ends up telling me it's a wind-up. But in all, he tells me 24 times that he wants to kill Muslims and attack mosques.
All right, but I'll meet you in a minute.
I'm fairly confident that if you had an undercover reporter with the far left, they'd say they want to kill people on the far right. I don't think they really would do it, though.
Well, all right, bye. That was Andrew Sykes. He's got word this evening that there could be a bit of trouble at a British National Party meeting. Apparently, the landlord and landlady have received a number of threats along the lines that if you're going to hold this meeting, then we're going to come around and we're going to trash the pub.
And this tells you what the left do. They threaten. He's not mentioning who it is. It's almost certainly people to whom those who are his agents are indirectly connected. So this is left-wing violence.
The threat is taken seriously. Several BNP members have already told me about being attacked by suspected left-wing opponents. They're also paranoid about being infiltrated by the police or journalists.
Steve Barkham, he's telling me some terrible stuff. Just awful. Just going on about attacking Asian lads. The proudest thing you've ever done, the finest thing you've ever done was kicking somebody in the head. And I don't know if I got that on film or not. I haven't had an opportunity to look back on it, but I don't think I did.
It's interesting, the incompetence of these undercover people, that they either they're incompetent and they miss stuff. Oh, do we believe they're incompetent? Or is it more likely that they're just making stuff up?
I think they're really suspicious about me.
Hi, bro.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Hi, bro. Hi, Linda. I have to go into the toilet to change my bloody tapes and stuff, and then Steve Barkham was there.
I'm going to piss.
What are your hands? So what are you doing in that cubicle, Jason? Oh, Christ, you know. They're on to you. And you think,
They're coming around,
I've got to go fucking get you. I see, they're coming. Bloody nightmare.
That's our problem.
Why even say he doesn't like urinals? Why raise suspicion? There's an obvious reason why he might go into a cubicle.
FBI is watching you.
Arthur's watching me, I know that.
I get away with it, but Barkham makes me so jumpy I forget to change my tape. When he later confesses to attacking an Asian man during the Bradford riots, I have nothing to record it on.
No, because it didn't happen, did it?
I'm still under suspicion, and there's even more bad news. Andy's been attacked. I'm worried the BNP are onto us both. I want to talk to Andy, but it's not safe to take a camera to his home.
Are you ready for the future of the West? Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear the full thing, as well as help with my other projects, then please become a subscriber at jollyheretic.com.